How about this for Freaky Friday? Let's start with a 3 or 4 minute drill. That's all we can get with the reigning NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year for a Freaky Friday on the podcast. Dude, that's Berm. I'm Austin. CJ Stroud, why were you not the NFL MVP? I thought that you had a strong I can't start it that way.
There was nobody on social media advocating for CJ to be the NFL MVP more than me.
All right, so we've kissed up enough to the guy that we've known since he was a senior in high school. We've always told you this, CJ, how remarkable it has been to get to follow your journey. Let's zoom in just on your pro day a year ago to 1 year later. How much has your life changed?
Man, you know, it's been a full 360, you know, just from being a college kid to a real grown adult, you know, and, you know, being in a new city. And I'm just super thankful, you know, thankful of you guys, thankful of just, you know, Columbus and Buckeye Nation in general. Just the love that I felt, you know, since I've been here, and just the development of me being a young man to a man now, you know, so I'm very appreciative. And just really honored, you know, to be here as an alumni, you know, and still having a lot of love in this state, in this city. So I'm super just blessed.
I know that the Ohio State media time with you was weird, right? Like, there was ups and downs. There were times when you look around and you're like, are these people serious? But who is Columbus's version of TMZ in your time here?
Don't make CJ jealous.
I want you to throw people under the bus.
No, you don't.
I'm not going to throw nobody under the bus, but I don't think I've never really had anything go on up here.
But you just never left this building.
Yeah, I was always here working, man, trying to get to where I'm at now. Yeah, so, yeah. But no, nah, man,
you turned the social media off too. So,
and I do now. Like, I literally don't be on there. I literally have somebody who makes my posts for me and things like that. Because I mean, social media has made everything so accessible.
Yeah, too much.
You know, it's too much, and everybody's comparing themselves to one another. And you know, I'm getting in trouble for, you know, anything nowadays, for playing in a celebrity baseball game and then going to play in a celebrity basketball game. A lot of people hated that. And, you know, my thing is, though.
Don't you want to live your life? I mean, like, you should be allowed to do what you want.
100%.
But get some shots up.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we live in a world, excuse me, everybody's opinionated. And
well, you did get in trouble when you said you were going to beat the men's basketball team.
Yeah, I don't go back. Right?
Standing on that.
Right. But I don't people please, man. You know, like, that was something I did a long time ago. But if you people please, man, somebody's always going to be upset with you. So
you know that we don't like to belabor all the football questions you get from everybody else. We saw, like, you got to go to those cool white parties. Mm-hmm. You're doing the stuff like you're talking about with celebrity basketball, softball games. What do you think the coolest opportunity you've had as CJ Stroud is since you left?
You know, I mean, everybody knows now my dad's situation. Yep. And I had a chance, you know, Bryce was, I was training with Bryce all last year, and he told me about a dinner he was going to, and it was about prison reform.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told him, like, man, do you mind asking if I can come? And Ruben, who I didn't know well at the time, was like, yeah, man, he's more than welcome. So I came, and I met Ruben. I mean, I've met Ruben before that, but we really, like, got close that day. Mm-hmm. They got to hear my story. I met Kim Kardashian. I met a lot of influential people who have, you know, a lot of influence in today's culture. And I was able to, you know, meet those people and create real bonds and relationships. And, you know, those are people I still, like, Ruben is one of my best friends to this day. And the reason I appreciate our relationship is because it's so genuine, and it started from a root of, you know, trying to make the world a better place. And so that was probably the coolest thing I've got to do, man, was go to that dinner and meet Ruben, meet Kim. And then, man, they've been amazing in my life and helped me in tremendous ways.
I mean, you get to the point where you're just calling her Kim. I mean, that's first name basis. That's a little bit.
We're all normal, regular people, you know.
I'm going to ask you a football question.
Oh, come on, Berm.
Because I have to. You won a playoff game as a rookie. That's pretty awesome. You had, like, week after week of final drive type games in the NFL, which, growing up playing football, I can't imagine how, like, crazy it is to go from playing in Rancho Cucamonga to that.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the best on-field moment for you as a rookie? Now, don't say beating the Bengals, because Joe wasn't playing, so it doesn't count.
Joe did play.
He did play.
Oh, no.
I forgot.
Okay. Yeah, he had a good game, too. He had a really good game. Threw for, like, 300 yards, two touchdowns. He had a good game.
Wasn't enough.
No, I have a lot of respect for Joe, man. But
I think it was one of the 10 best games in the NFL.
I threw a stupid pick at the end, so I made it interesting. But hey, we won, so we'll take it. Most fun on moment, probably the Browns game, man. That playoff game, just to be honest, and I've said this before, I'm not used to not playing in front of a packed crowd.
Yeah.
We're spoiled here. That first game against Indy, we lost to Baltimore week one, and we came and played Indy week two, and we didn't play well, and was not a lot of people there. And we played Jags week three, and we played really well. And then we played week four against the Steelers, and it was like 50% Steelers fans. We almost had it going.
Probably more than 50.
Yeah, and I was like, man, like we gotta change this. But at the same time, you have to like look yourself in the mirror, like, man, the Texans weren't great for a long time. Like, this is just what they know, you right. know? So we have to change the narrative around here. So
you did.
The Browns game, man, like, bro, it was lit. I was, I ain't gonna lie, like, no disrespect to the shoe. It was more cracking than the shoe that day. But it was going crazy. They did a light show. And don't get me wrong, the shoe was a lot. It was probably just as loud as the shoe. But, you know, playing like in NRG and playing in the shoe, two great stadiums, man. Like, well, if you've never been,
if you put a
come
roof,
to the game.
If you, put a roof, if you put a roof over the shoe, it'd be just as loud as
it'd probably be louder.
Okay. All right.
I missed the shoe.
See, we promised that we would keep it tight with CJ. He's been doing
it. Keep going. Let's keep going.
Okay.
What's the word?
Well, I will. Byrne brought it up, like thinking back to Rancho Cucamonga. And I think about these moments all the time,
mm-hmm.
like because of the watching your career develop. And we went out to your walkthrough before your playoff game, and you had teammates in jeans and walking around. And I couldn't believe that was the level of football that you were coming out of. And like, this is going to be the next Ohio State quarterback. So it's like one level after the other. You jumped straight from that where it's like, I don't know if any of these guys know what they're around or how you got through it or the level of discipline. I know that you appreciate your coaching staff and your teammates there just like you've done at every step. But that part is even wilder to me to think about where you came from there, setting aside everything else about your journey. But like that development, the mm-hmm. way it happened here and now to the NFL, I mean, how often can you allow yourself to think about that, what you came from, and how you made it to this level?
That's a great question. I mean, a lot of people don't ask me that because a lot of people didn't come to my high school like y'all did. So I appreciate y'all even giving me the platform that day, you know. And I was just a young, skinny kid.
You were pretty
skinny. 180, yeah. You know, like. But, you know, that was the start of, you know, just. Honestly, it wasn't even a start, man. The start was a long time before that.
Sure.
And that was around the time, man, where my focus was as tight as ever. Like, and it's never really changed from that day. Like, I've always, and I didn't, like, don't get me wrong, my teammates had jeans on and some of them didn't care.
Coaches wearing flip flops.
100%. And some of them didn't care to be on the field. Some, like, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah. Like, for me, I knew that this sport could maybe, you know, change my life. And I seen it, you know. Remember the day my life changed, one of them. I remember James Harden got his contract and somebody broke it down on like Instagram. And it was like, he made like $100,000 a second or yeah. something crazy. I'm like, man, they paying people money. They're paying a lot of money for us to do stuff that we love to do. And we have talent, God given talent. So like,
I was about like, what your second contract's going to be like.
Not even putting that to thought. Gotta get there first, man. It ain't just as easy. But
all right, my bad.
Nah, you're good. Those times, though, man, it's the roots of, you know, what people are seeing now.
Yeah.
You know, everybody sees the big orange tree of these nice oranges on the tree, and it just looks great. But, like, back then, man, I was still like a little stem. It wasn't even, like, right. blossomed yet, and it took time. I had to get watered. I had to be in the sun, you know. And I was coming to Ohio State, going through that process, you know, growing, and then – coming to the league and having my growing pains there. So it's just, you know, everything happened for a reason.
The one thing you bring up about that, CJ, is like the platform, it wasn't as big then at Rancho Cucamonga as it then became at Ohio State. And maybe now what you have with the NFL and the Texans and the following you have after that first year. The one thing that's been consistent throughout all of that is what you said you always wanted to do with mm-hmm. it. I mean, do you feel like the impact is the same if you're telling it to five people as you are to 5 million or 50 million, or have you felt
yeah.
a greater sense of responsibility or a greater response to that as you've gone along?
A little bit of both. I've always been somebody who tried to speak life into people because life was spoken into me when times where I didn't know I was going to make it out. So, you know, and a lot of things that I do are, I'll tell you, I'm barely on social media. So a lot of things that I do aren't on camera. And I like it that way, you know, and the Bible says your left hand shouldn't know what your right hand is doing, you know. So I think in a day and age, a lot of people give back just to get, you know, recognition and you know, for people to pat them on the back. But from God, that's not honorable. And for me, I've had plenty of times. I just go up to my old high school and I don't tell nobody I'm going. I just go up there and I throw and there'll be kids out there and we'll be on the field for 2 hours and I'll just talk to them the whole time. Any question they got, I'm answering.
Right.
I've been in Texas before where I've walked into stores and talked to dudes for multiple hours and I'm not doing it to say like, yeah, I'm just some prophet. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a flawed human just like everybody else trying to get it right. But I do have a lot of life experience and I love to, you know, have good conversation with people. If that's them talking more than I am or me talking more than them, you know. So for me, you know, it's been a blessing to be able to, you know, be able to give back, not only, of course, like with Thanksgiving and like Christmas and, you know, these big holidays, but just interaction with people, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite interactions to watch of yours is the way that you and Ryan Day are together. Mm-hmm. You seem to bring out like a different side of him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How surprising. Think back now. Your relationship's gone on for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like how rewarding is that for you to come back here and be able to have that sort of connection with him? Because it does seem I'm watching from, you know, yeah. We're stuck in the bullpen over there and you can see Ryan over here joking around, mm-hmm. having you on FaceTime with probably RJ or someone else. Like, mm-hmm. what does it mean to you to be able to have this to come back to? Because you got a first-year head coach in the NFL who's obviously a great man and a great coach in D'Amico Ryan, sorry. Like, what does it mean to have that relationship with Ryan Day? Because not everyone has that relationship
100%. With the coach. Especially, like, in this day and age where, you know, these coaches are being paid a lot of money. And to be honest, some of them start feeling themselves more than, you know what I'm saying, yeah. more than they probably should. And they start disrespecting their former players or, you know, they're not there for him like they said they would. And for me, like, man, Coach Day has always been there for me, you know, like, even when I wasn't playing and he was really hard on me, like,
yeah,
he was probably one of the hardest coaches I've ever had in my life. And, you know, I appreciate him because it was real, you know, and it was something that, of course, he wanted to be great himself. And, you know, he wanted to uphold Ohio State standard. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he wanted the best for me in my career. And he knew being hard on me was the best way to get that done. And, you know, we've had a lot of heartfelt conversations. We've been sitting there in his office crying together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things that people don't know about me and his relationship. And, you know, I think, like you said, people can see it when we interact. You know, it's a lot of love in that relationship, man. And I appreciate him more than he knows. And I know he never takes credit for a lot of my successes, but he has a lot to do with it. And just like Coach Dennis does, Coach Fitch, Hart, you know, Coach Alford, Coach Stud, Coach Fry, Coach Mick, for sure. All the strength staff, like everybody, man, has been in the Woody and poured their lives into me. Man, they have everything to do with my success, you know. So, man, it's just a blessing to be able to, you know, have a relationship like that with these people.
I've got one more thing, and then it's up to him.
Right. Oh, it's up to this guy. He's the rookie of the year.
Quarterback from California, came to Ohio, back and forth at the last minute between Ohio State and Georgia and all the other. There's a quarterback in here now, a freshman from California, who spent 2 weeks at Alabama. Have you had a chance to – did you know Julian Sain? Did you get a chance to talk to him on your visit? I mean, have you seen him growing up?
No, I haven't. I maybe have. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, I heard he's really talented, and I'm excited to see what he does, man. You know, he's at the right school if he wants to play a good quarterback. And, you know, I think me, Justin, Dwayne, rest in peace to Dwayne, We've paved the way. Of course, excuse me, Braxton, JT, Terrell, Cardell.
It goes back.
It goes back to Troy, you know what I'm saying? Cornelius, like all those guys, man. And, you know, I think we've paved the way for guys to come in here and, you know, be able to play quarterback at a high level and everybody's going to be watching. And, you know, it's really cool, you know, to have, you know, an imprint on a room. And I still see those guys doing some things that I taught them. Now to those days, and I remember things Justin taught me that he probably learned from other guys. Right. It goes all the way back until, you know, maybe when Ohio State started playing football, you know what I'm saying?
You hand it down.
You know, and that's what it's about. Yeah. And to see those guys come in and, you know, you're labeled as a five-star, you're labeled as whatever you are, and when you come in here, you're a square one. You're at the bottom pole, and you got to find – like fit for your life and mat drills and deal with Coach Mick. Seems like the world is about to end, but that's what builds this brotherhood and makes everything so special.
And then you just hope you don't end up in Chicago.
Oh boy.
No comment.
Listen to what he's doing. CJ, do you have any questions for us? You never did this.
That's crazy.
You never did this.
Not have any questions for y'all.
Yes, we miss you, okay? Fine.
That was my question.
Okay, all right,
you guys.
We do. You're the best. kept him longer than we said, but it was by demand. And if he says he wants more questions, we're going to give him more questions.
Let's do it.
CJ Stroud, great to have him back. I know that he enjoyed the opportunity to be here for a pro day. The brotherhood is real, right?
I mean, 100%.
That's the way it goes for y'all. When did you schedule it that you were going to come in and do this?
I was already coming before. Once I heard it was on the 20th, I was like, yeah, I'm there.
Okay.
It was probably like a month ago, excuse me.
Crazy year in the life of CJ Stroud, and still gracious enough to give us a little bit of time on the podcast daily for a Freaky Friday interview. Great to catch up with the NFL Rookie of the Year for the 2023 season and the 2024 NFL. He's a perm. That's CJ Stroud.
I appreciate y'all. Talk to y'all later. Peace.